Parliament, Ed Bowsman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. It is written, I fed you with milk, and not with meat, for ye were not able to bear it. Nay, not even now are ye able. It is written, for when one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not men? What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? But ministers through whom ye believed. It is written, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase.
For God is just a prayer away.
According to the grace of God, which was given unto me, as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let each man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But if any man buildeth on the foundation gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, stubble, each man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is revealed in fire, and the fire itself shall prove each man's work, of what sort it is. Nobody knows what a boy is worth, a boy at his work or play. A boy who whistles around the place or laughs in an artless way. Nobody knows what a boy is worth, and the world must wait and see. For every man in an honored place is a boy that used to be. Nobody knows what a boy is worth, a boy with his face aglow. For hid in his heart there are secrets deep, not even the wisest know. Nobody knows what a boy is worth, a boy with his bare brown feet. So have a smile and a kindly word for every boy you meet. Ladies and gentlemen, from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that's it, baby. Paul begins by saying, that I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. That's it, baby. He goes on to say that he fed them with milk and not with meat. I could not give you a gospel steak. I could not give you a gospel pork chop. I could not even give you a gospel hamburger with fries. I had to juice you good with milk. That's it, baby. You are more like babes in Christ than full-grown Christians. You've been in the church far enough time to be full-grown, but it seems you are retarded. No growth. Paul, do you mean we're infants and not adults in the faith? That's it, baby. I saw a report once in the newspapers where a judge had sentenced a man to jail and ordered that he eat baby food while he was there. The judge said, you've acted like a baby, now we will feed you like a baby. That is why Paul told the Corinthians, you act like babies, I will feed you like babies. The church is full of babies today. I knew a missionary one time who went to a foreign field of service. And someone asked him why he went, and he said he wanted to get away from the church babies. What a way to go. Then one time I heard of a preacher who was being fired by the congregation, and he asked them, did I not feed you the sincere milk of the word? They said, yes, but we like our milk condensed. We are all aware that the church is full of spiritual babies. When a child is born, it is sometimes called a bouncing baby boy. He weighed in at 8 pounds and 4 ounces. When we get to see the newborn marvel and coo over him, we stick our fingers into his tummy and say, itchy, kitchy, coo. The church sometimes can send out a similar announcement. We have several bouncing baby boys. They all weigh between 175 and 200 pounds. We never shake hands with them when they enter the services. We stick our forefinger and jam it in their tummy and coo, itchy, kitchy, coo. Maybe we can look at the babes of Corinth and get some idea for our modern-day nursery. Now, these Corinthian babies had several immature ideas about serving the Lord and conducting the affairs of the church. For one thing, they were full of jealousy and strife. Because of this, he said they were carnal or fleshly and not spiritual. He mentioned how they walked after the manner of men. One said, I am of Paul. Another said, well, I am of Apollos. Some said they were Apollosians, and some said they were Paulinians. Paul saw this trait as an indication that they were babes in Christ and not full-grown. Is there any difference today when people call themselves after the names of men? Even pygmies compared to such giants as Paul and Apollos. Are they not fleshly and not spiritual? There's nothing spiritual about belonging to any denomination. It shows a selfish interest in the party spirit and not the Holy Spirit. There is glory for the denominational name rather than the name of Christ. Does someone say, do you mean to say that just because I insist on wearing my denominational name, that I am not spiritual? That's it, baby. I think you're beginning to catch on. I must need feed you with milk and not with meat. You are not able to bear it. Then their jealousy and strife indicated an inordinate trust in men rather than in God. Paul is exasperated. He cries out, what is Paul? What is Apollos? The answer, ministers through whom ye believed, and each as the Lord gave him. We are what we are by the grace of God, and no one has the right to boast. It is God that makes us as we are. I knew a man once who said, if you ever leave this church, I'm quitting. What a strange notion. I never died on the cross for that man. I was never raised up for his justification. I did not shed my blood for him. I did not go to prepare a heavenly home for him, so why should he attend or not attend because of my presence? The best answer to the question is that man was spiritually immature, a church baby. Paul would tell us to keep on feeding him milk since he could not digest anything else. Itchy, kitchy, coo. Perhaps at this point someone is saying, do you mean to say that I'm not spiritual just because I trust my preacher on everything he says? Just because I have defranchised myself and surrendered my brain to whatever my preacher tells me? Just because I trust him more than I trust the apostles, do you mean to tell me that I'm not spiritual? That's it, baby. You're beginning to catch on. I cannot speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes. And some are not even babes. You have to be born again to be a babe in Christ. And the only way to be born again is to be born of water and the Spirit. Remember, Peter gives a good commentary on this when he says, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Another indication of the infancy of the Lord's servants was when Paul said, I planted, and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Paul never stayed very long in any one place. He planted the church and moved on, and the watering was done by someone else. But God was the one who gave the increase. Some today could say, I not only planted, but I'm the one who did the watering. Someone else could say, that's nothing. I'm the one who planted and watered, and I also wrote the church bulletin. I hear someone else say, I planted and watered, put out the bulletin, and did all the praying. I know of a church one time where the preacher was called on the leader of the church to pray, and he told the preacher, you pray, preacher. That's what we're paying you for. Someone else could say, in the church where I serve, I plant, water, put out the bulletin, do all the praying, and I also visit all the sick. Someone else says, if that's nothing in the church where I serve, I plant, water, put out the church bulletin, do all the praying and visiting the sick, and I also do all the teaching. Let's do it one more time. Do I hear someone say, in the church where I serve, I do all the planting, watering, put out the bulletin, make all the sick calls, do all the praying, do all the teaching, and I am the only one who is present for every service during the year because, I'm paid to be there. I'm the preacher. The preacher can say he is good because he's being paid for his attendance. The other members attend because they are good for nothing. No doubt someone at this point is saying, it looks like you are trying to make it sound like we are more carnal than the Corinthians. That's it, baby. Now you've got the hang of it. Next, Paul talked about the foundation of the church at Corinth. He said, as a wise master builder, he laid a foundation. Let each man take heed how he build thereon. The foundation Paul laid was Jesus Christ. He said, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. When I talk about the church, when I preach about the church, I like to feel a solid rock under my feet. Jesus Christ is the only foundation. So take heed how you build on that foundation. We read about the establishment of the Corinthian church in Acts the 18th chapter. We are told that Paul testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. He laid the foundation. We are told also that as he laid the foundation, that many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Baptism to Paul was a burial in water for the remission of sins. Hear him as he tells a story of his conversion in Acts 22, as he told how Ananias told him to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins. Hear him again as he told the Romans that he was buried with him in baptism. This was the way Paul built on the foundation that he, as a wise master builder, laid in the foundation was Jesus Christ. There's something very comforting to me as a preacher in this statement of Paul in regards to the carnality of the Corinthian Christians. Paul called those people babes in Christ. Yet it is to be remembered that he is the one who started the church there. If some of the converts of Paul acted like babies, it's easy to see why some of the people I have led to Christ act like babies too. I certainly can't have a better track record than Paul. Again, no doubt someone is asking, well, do you mean that some of us who have followed your advice and have been immersed for the remission of sins and have united with the Lord's church are acting like infants? That's it, baby. Another comforting thought about the people who do not endure unto the end, so far as the preacher is concerned, is that the salvation of the preacher does not depend on the faithfulness of those who have come to Christ through his ministry. Paul indicated how some build on the foundation. Some build with gold. Some build with silver and precious stones. Others build on that foundation a building of wood, hay, or stubble. The foundation that Paul has laid will support a skyscraper many times higher than the tallest building on earth, and some folk are content to build on that foundation a pig's pen or something like it. Take heed how you build. Many a person's work will not stand the test of the judgment. Many a church that looks great in the eyes of men looks like straw in the eyes of God. A modern-day technique is to use modern-day marketing techniques to build the church. Ladies and gentlemen, you can market soap. You can market real estate. You can market chewing gum. You can market airplane tickets. But how do you market repentance? How do you market obedience? Churches that are built solely on marketing techniques more than likely are made of straw. What a fire there's going to be when the building instructor arrives. Many a person who has been immersed into Christ by my hands and who has not been faithful to the Lord, and I know many such people, will go to hell and be lost forever, but that will not have any bearing on my salvation. No doubt some are saying, well, are you trying to tell me that even though I was baptized and belonged to the church, and because I was not faithful, because I was not faithful in living the life I should have lived, that I'm in danger of losing my soul? That's it, baby. I think you're beginning to catch on. Then Paul gives a remedy for the Corinthian situation when he tells them that they are to become fools, that they may then become wise. In the previous chapter, the second chapter, he had told them that preaching the gospel was foolishness in the eyes of the world. Now he reminds them that they are to become fools, too, if they would be wise. They would be as fools in the eyes of the world, and then they would be truly wise. The Christian is the only one who really understands life. Everybody is a fool over somebody, and it's best to be a fool for Christ than anyone else. Some time ago, an indecent show had been scheduled in one community. The church decided to have a march on the Lord's Day since the show was being put on that day. Several hundred marched by singing hymns. I don't know if it made any impression or not. Someone told some of the members that they looked like a bunch of fools. I said, well, hooray for the fools. We need more fools like them. They were fools for Christ. Only the fool for Christ is truly wise. Perhaps the church needs to put an ad in the paper that says, Wanted! More fools for our services. Show me a person who puts the church first in everything, a person who gives at least as much as where the Old Testament left off. A person who is constantly talking about the Lord. And I'll show you a person who is making a fool of himself. He is a fool for the Lord. Show me a person who has no time for the church. And if he is a member, comes when he feels like it and stays home when he doesn't, then I will show you a person who is making a fool out of himself. A fool for the devil. I would rather be the Lord's fool than the devil's fool. I saw a bumper sticker one time that said, I am a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? No doubt someone is saying, well, do you mean to tell me that because I stayed home to fix a meal for my family, that I'm a fool? That's it, baby. Do you mean that just because I went to a doubleheader on the Lord's Day and missed the services once in a while, that I have made a fool over the devil and myself? That's it, baby. Do you mean to tell me that loyalty to the services of the church is the same thing as loyalty to Jesus Christ, and that I have made a fool of myself if I don't put the church above everything else in the community. That's it, baby. Be a fool for Christ, and then you will really wise up. And now these few words in conclusion. Paul's final word is to let no one glory in men, for all things are yours, the apostles, the world, life, death, things present, things to come, are all yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Paul says, all things are yours. Time would fail to mention all things that are yours. But we will note that life and death and things to come are yours. Life does not end with our death, and we do have a death. If the Lord delays his coming, we will all use our death before too long. You will be just as much alive after you are dead as you are at this moment. Even more so because you will not be slowed down by the flesh. That is why we need to be spiritual rather than carnal or fleshly. The spirit, you see, will outlast the body. You will be alive 10,000 years from now, just as much as you are right now. It is a sobering thought to think that 100 years from now, you will be just as conscious of where you are as you are at this moment. Many of us wear glasses, but at death we will have a 20/20 vision without glasses. Many of you have hearing aids, but when you die you will hear without a hearing aid because there will be no fleshly weakness to hold you back. For this reason, it is better to concentrate on the spiritual things rather than the carnal, because the spiritual things will outlast the carnal. Someone will no doubt ask, do you mean to tell me that after death that I will be just as conscious as I am now and even more so? Do you mean this to be true for the saved as well as the lost? Do you really mean that I am going to outlive this body and that I had better get with it? That's it, baby. Take heed how you build on the one and only foundation. Lay some gold stones and some silver stones of obedience to the gospel plan of salvation. Lay on the foundation, the one and only foundation, some costly stones like the one found in Acts 20. Upon the first day of the week when we were gathered together to break bread. Never put on the one and only foundation an imitation stone, such as faith-only stubble. Never try to build up the temple of God by using the hay of a denominational name or the straw, or by using even the wood of the no-hellers. Such a building will not stand the test of fire on that day. You might not get as large a building that way if you use all gold and silver and stones, but at least the building will stand the test if you put the right things on the foundation. Take heed how you build on the one and only foundation. That's it, baby. Ladies and gentlemen, in conclusion, I have just one statement to make. Itchy kitchy coo.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. 142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.